Welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
This is Radio EcoShock with writer, psychotherapist, and teacher Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I get some emails from listeners or Facebook messages saying things like, I've decided not to have children after hearing your show, or even intimations of suicide. Are we missing the key tools we need to face these awful things like climate change or economic collapse?
Well, I think that we are. Now, in terms of having children, I think there are a number of reasons right now not to have children. You know, I have published on my website recently some pretty daunting information about climate change. And included in that information is a presentation by Guy McPherson and a number of other scientists, really recently collected data pretty much in 2011 and 2012 on the rise in temperature of the planet and how it may be that this planet will only be inhabitable for another 30 to 40 years. So, you know, I think people have to look very long and hard and really soul search a great deal about having children. I think that's really important. But suicide, you know, it's like my work is really about helping people come to a place within themselves where they realize that there's something more important even than their own physical survival. That they may not survive all of these daunting challenges and things that may actually bring forth extinction. But what really matters is coming to a place of finding meaning in all of this, finding one's life purpose, deciding what one is going to do with the time one has left. Am I just going to shrivel up and crawl in a hole and do myself in? Or am I going to use these experiences and these events as an opportunity to give the gifts that I came here with and to make a difference in my little world, even if I can't make a difference in the big world? That we all have something to give. We all have something to contribute. And it really, I believe, is our obligation to find out what that is and do it.
Well, the strange thing is, most of the time, I am happier discovering the truth, even if it is harsh, and I also make a point of looking for joy every day, and it is there, and it pops out at you when you don't expect it, and then I treasure it, and I kind of feed off of that, and that's what helps keep me going.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful website called Radical Joy for Tough Times. You can just Google it. Trebby Johnson is the woman's name who manages the website, Radical Joy for Hard Times. You know, it's like, I love that website because it really, I think, encourages us to look for places of joy in our lives. And no matter how bleak things are, there are places of joy in our lives, and they may be very simple, and we may have to do some looking, but they are there. And, you know, I find that working together in community with people to prepare, you know, starting projects together, building community together. In my case, I'm part of a heart and soul group here in Boulder, Colorado, and there are many heart and soul groups around the world where we get together and we talk about these things in terms of emotional and spiritual preparation. All of those things bring joy, as well as creating beauty on a daily basis, finding beauty in one's life, whether it be through art, music, poetry, theater. All of these can enliven us and bring us more passion and more joy and more juice in our lives.
Well, I've got to agree with that. But getting back, I guess, to the dark side, a few weeks ago I interviewed Dr. Paul Ehrlich. He just published a scientifically reviewed paper in the Royal Society asking whether we can avoid a collapse of industrial civilization. Well, the scientists are a little late to that party. When did you start to see we had problems that have no rational solutions?
Well, my journey on this kind of began back in 2000 when I met Mike Rupert, and I began to subscribe to From the Wilderness, the website that he had at that time. I just began to research and ask a lot of questions. You know, I would say from about 2000 to 2007, I was looking at these challenges and kind of seeing them individually as different dots, you know, that were out there that we have to contend with. But in 2007, I saw a magnificent documentary, which I'm sure many listeners have seen, What a Way to Go, Life at the End of Empire. And that, for me, began to connect all of these dots so that I was able to then begin to name what was happening, which is the collapse of industrial civilization and the paradigm on which it's built. So at that point, you know, I thought, well, you know, this could be pretty depressing stuff unless we have some reason to go through this, unless we can find some meaning in this process. And that's when I began to make notes that eventually became my book, Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. And then I took that a couple of steps further in 2011 with the publication of Navigating the Coming Chaos, a handbook for inner transition.
All right. Well, just before we get to some of the positive solutions I have found in your daily newsletter, let's get to the nitty-gritty. What kind of spirituality are you proposing?
I am not proposing any particular kind of spirituality. I think everyone needs to find his or her own path. But I think a spirituality that is based on earth wisdom, that deeply connects with the earth and our place in it, is very, very important. And, you know, a person might say, well, spirituality, I don't know what that is. I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. Well, it really is just about going out and appreciating the earth, to go out and sit in the dirt and let it sift through your fingers, to taste and smell the earth, to just be very present with the silence around you or the animals around you. That's a spiritual experience because it really encompasses your depths, your soul, your being. So it's not about finding a particular spirituality, but really just being open to that kind of wisdom, that path. Some people find it helpful to study a little bit of the wisdom, great wisdom traditions, Native American spirituality, Buddhism, other paths, and many people like to just kind of integrate all of those. It really is about being open to where you're being guided.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, talking about science and the sacred with Dr. Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I know you write for the Colorado edition of Transition Times. How is transition going in Colorado?
Well, it's actually going very well. Here in Boulder County, we have a project that is kind of usurping everything else at the moment called the Local Food Shift. This is a project in which we are trying very hard to get this county to be able to feed itself within a few years. And one of the ways that this is happening is through getting investors to invest in local food, and that is being very successful. We're getting consumers to take a 10% pledge in which they're pledging to spend at least 10% of their food budget on local foods. And so you can go to localfoodshift.com and read more about that. It's a very exciting project, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Well, if someone wants to get involved with Transition Town, the movement in America or anywhere in the world, how do they make that connection?
Transition US. It's just Transition US. That's all one word, transitionus.org.
Good enough. Okay. And I'll put links to that and other transition sites in other countries, how to find it. There's a good map of all that. I'll put that in my blog at ecoshock.info. Let's get to a couple of your favorites, maybe from the many ideas that come up daily, of things that people could do to get started.
Well, the things that I tell people in my life coaching practice, which I'd like to say a little bit about in a moment, is you first of all have to understand you cannot do this alone. When a person first begins to awaken to the magnitude of what we're facing, it can be extremely overwhelming. And, you know, you've had Kathy McMahon on your program and others who've talked about how at first you can feel like you're going crazy. It can be a very schizophrenic kind of feeling. And it's just too overwhelming to be alone with. So I highly recommend that people look around for either a transition group or some other group, or possibly an online forum, where you can dialogue with other people about what's going on. You can share your feelings about it. You can engage together in different projects of preparation. I would say that's the first thing. You know, continue to read, watch documentaries, but really, really get involved. And then start looking at your own personal preparation. Where do you live? Is that a place that is likely to sustain you or provide you with maximum sustainability, maximum support in the event that, you know, all of the systems really, really break down and you find yourself being really challenged to find food and water and that sort of thing? It's kind of like there are certain steps and they play out differently for in each person, but I say that having a support system of some kind is kind of up there at the top.
That's The Clash, and this is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with author, activist, and teacher Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I've been agonizing about whether we should move back to the country. Should we stay in the city and fight this beast, or get ready to feed ourselves as the big system collapses? And then finally I realized we should move, and I'm talking about me personally, myself and my wife, we should move, not out of fear, but because we want to. I need to get my hands in the dirt. I need to feel nature around me. I'm hoping to move next year to be happy no matter what the world does. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's wonderful because what I'm hearing you saying is really that there's something that's calling you, something that's leading or pulling you to a different kind of lifestyle. Just the fact that you say, I want to get my hands in the dirt. Yeah, you could do that perhaps in urban farming in the city, but it sounds like there's something greater, like you have a greater picture of this. And I say to anyone who feels drawn in that direction, by all means, follow the pull.
And you talked about your coaching services. What are you doing there?
Well, I'd like to just clarify one thing. You've called me a psychotherapist, and I used to be a psychotherapist. Currently, I'm not. I do life coaching, however, and the reason for this is that often as we prepare for the future, we find ourselves facing personal or relationship challenges that we need some help moving through. And life coaching is not the same as psychotherapy. Basically, it assumes that all of the answers are already within each person. So my role is to be a catalyst to facilitate the individual in accessing those answers that lie within. And if anyone wants to find out more about it, just simply email me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net.
And what are some of the most common problems that people seek your help for?
I would say the top two problems would be relationships where someone has become awakened to collapse and the need to prepare for it, and their partner doesn't want to hear anything about it and is, you know, terrified or angry or is pushing back in some way against that. And the person really needs support and direction for how to proceed. Another situation is where a person may have lost their job or no longer want to do the job that they're doing anymore because they really feel a need to give their gifts elsewhere. And so maybe they're wanting some support and guidance in reinventing themselves. Other situations might be the one that you just talked about personally with relocating. You know, I need to relocate somewhere, and I don't know where that place might be that's best for me. So those are some examples.
Well, you know, now that Dear Abby's passed away, I'd love to hear you do your own radio show. I'm picturing a call-in show with advice for hard times and ways to better times. And I know you're super busy already, and we have talked about this a little bit, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can download your podcast or listen to you on the air.
Well, I would love to do it too, and I am definitely consciously working to move in that direction. And speaking of podcasts, I do have several at my website, carolynbaker.net. Some are free, some are very reasonably priced, but I see a radio show in my future.
And what about your daily sheet of headlines? Tell us about that.
Thank you for asking. The Daily News Digest is published 7 days a week unless I'm traveling. This is a unique service because not only does it provide carefully selected and bundled news pertaining to collapse, but it also provides extensive options for dealing with the news that you're reading. In the options section, you'll find a lot of good news about how people all over the world are dealing with the challenges of our time. So to learn more about subscribing, visit carolynbaker.net and click on the subscription tab.
Okay, well, I'm going to put links to Carolyn's work in my show blog at ecoshock.info, but you can find the hub of all that, as she says, at carolynbaker.net. I am a subscriber. Carolyn, thank you so much for your help.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
Hope of an easy retirement, the new home, their children's education, everything was gone.
Millions of people are balanced on the knife edge of poverty. You know the rich are literally growing richer while the poor get poorer. In every developed country, there are millions of people who are just one paycheck away from financial disaster. I'm concerned about those people. You may be one of them without really thinking about it. And even if you're not, if crowds of people get kicked out on the street, can't afford groceries, or turn to crime to get by, that is certainly going to affect all of our lives. Last week we mentioned Nicole Foss of the Automatic Earth blog. She started out thinking peak oil would collapse the economy, and then wondered if climate change might bring a crash first. Now she's traveling to many countries giving lectures saying the economy itself will crash even without a push by high energy prices or climate disruption. Nicole is looking at the very big picture where governments in the United States, the UK, and the rest of Europe are printing billions of dollars out of thin air like there's no tomorrow. Just a push of a computer button and $40 billion a month goes to the five biggest American banks to buy up their worst loans. And that's just a fraction of the real support for industrial civilization being billed to some future taxpayers. Let's talk about seniors for a minute. In Canada, payroll taxes are deducted for something called the Canada Pension Plan. That money was actually set aside in a pool which can become huge over the years. The money is really there, unless there's a global crash where everything is worth nothing. In the United States, the government also deducts payroll taxes, but never did save that money. They rolled it into general revenues and spent it on crazy things like foreign wars and oil subsidies. The money isn't there to support American seniors. You've heard of unfunded liabilities. Well, that's one for sure. The other scam in the U.S., but also in Canada and the U.K., is to hide real unemployment numbers by herding people of all ages back into school, allegedly to improve their job prospects and eventual salaries. Student loans in the United States have now topped $1 trillion. Of this, about 15% of loans are already delinquent. Bankers expect that at least $200 billion of student loans will never be repaid. This education bubble is approaching the crazy levels set by the subprime mortgage crisis of 2007-2008. Except those loans, at least, had a house attached, while student loans have no equity. The banks don't need to worry. The federal government guarantees all those loans. The banks can loan out billions at low interest rates, and the taxpayer is on the hook. You can see how that happens. A person 30 or 40 years old, a good worker, is suddenly out of a job. Their job has been automated or sent overseas. Counselors and the media say, well, you have to go back to university to get retrained for another job. Anyway, getting tens of thousands of loans will pay for the mortgage and the groceries while they figure out what to do. Most do not find work in the field they are trained for. Many will end up as waiters or low-paying jobs unable to repay the loans. Even so, the government can garnish their pitiful wages because there is not a way to discharge a student loan through declaring bankruptcy in the United States. It is far worse for youth in Europe and America. When we count inflation, American college students are borrowing almost twice as much as they did just 10 years ago. Here's one quote. According to FICO, while the delinquency rate is climbing, the average amount of student loan debt is increasing even faster, In 2005, the average U.S. student loan debt was $17,233. By 2012, it had ballooned to more than $27,253, an increase of 58% in 7 years. Keep in mind, 1% of the U.S. population has student loans worth over $100,000. More than half of graduate students in one survey said they intended to move back in with their parents after finishing university. University is where youth hang out when there are no jobs for them. Most of the supposed job growth has been for people over the age of 45. I won't even go into the rates of youth unemployment in countries like Italy, Spain, and even France. Probably one quarter of people in those countries will never have a full-time, good-paying job. Meanwhile, millions and millions of people in America, Canada, and the UK are really, really broke. They still watch TV ads for expensive pickup trucks. They may even buy a Starbucks every day. But a rude awakening could be just around the corner with something as simple as a 1% increase in interest rates or a collapse of the unreal prices for stocks these days. At some point in the year, 77% of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. One-third of Americans are contributing absolutely nothing to retirement savings. They can't. There is nothing to spare. One survey found that 28% of Americans have nothing at all in savings for emergencies. Another survey found 40% of Americans have $500 or less in savings. 40% have less than $500. In Canada, almost half of Canadians are living paycheck to paycheck. 47% of Canucks are in big trouble if their paycheck is delayed even by a week, and that's actually an improvement. It was 57% in 2011. As the Canadian government has warned its people, Canadians hold record amounts of personal debt in 2012. Total average debt, not including a mortgage, is around $27,000. Those levels are rising rapidly as Canadians keep spending on consumer items bought with credit cards or lines of credit on their houses. They are spending more than their income every year. The household debt-to-income ratio stood at a whopping 164.6%. The average household debt is $103,000, and their total debt is $1.6 trillion. Now I ask you, is that going to end well? Do I need to tell you how bad it is for some of the lower-income people in the UK? In December 2012, the Independent newspaper reported 1 in 10 families were forced to default on their household bills. 1 in 10. 10 million families are in danger, struggling on the edge of that knife edge where a missed paycheck or sudden expense just breaks them. Millions of families are already behind in their utility bills or home payments. You would think Australians are doing much better. In some senses, buoyed by mineral exports, well, they are. But the average Australian has the highest household debt compared to disposable income, higher than anywhere else in the world. They are absolute leaders in the amount of credit card debt. The average Australian owes the equivalent of $56,000 American dollars, while Americans themselves average out at $44,000. Just recently, Australians started spending more than their total gross domestic product. Of course, many are counting on their high property values as a piggy bank. But what if the market goes down? All of these people in all of these countries have been sold on the middle-class dream as a route to becoming really wealthy. They want to live it right now, even if the paycheck isn't there to support it. If that bubble bursts, and simple common sense says the pyramid scheme must fall eventually, it may fall at the top with bankrupt governments and big banks, or it may fall at the bottom with huge crowds of disappointed and, yes, even hungry people in the former first world countries. It could break at the top and the bottom at the same time. Either way, the old system is primed for failure.
United will never be defeated!
Angry voices and marching feet. The last thing a government facing a financial crisis wants to have to deal with.
One future we could see is civil unrest, as we've seen in North Africa. I mean crowds in the street, looting, a breakdown in social services, and then government. I'm not talking about this year, but within the next 10 years, yes, I think so. We all need to think about how we would supplement our food and fuel supplies if the normal money breaks down. We need to organize local communities now that can function even during a breakdown. We need to begin helping one another right now with even more food banks, barter systems, volunteer times, local currencies, markets for locally grown food. I ask you to reach out to those on the edge with comfort and help. I'm not preaching from some safe place for myself. Our major breadwinner was out of work for 10 months just recently. My son-in-law was laid off, but fortunately found a good job a few months later. My own small pension was cut in half. But we've stayed out of the consumer dream for years. Our home is graced with used furniture, our closets with some used clothes. We save what little we have, and we spend less than that. We've lived poor before. We know how to grow food, chickens, and all that. We know how to heat with wood. But most important of all, we know how to link up with others to trade and enrich our lives with homemade music, childcare exchanges, and all the good things community can bring. Watch out for the coming tsunami of poverty. But instead of digging a bunker for food, dig a lot of big holes to plant food all over your neighborhood and town. Prepare in the big sense of the word. What's coming up on Radio EcoShock? I'm putting together a program on African-American food and farming in the Deep South. It's an unreported scene, and we can all learn a lot from that past and present. My next show in development is about growing food indoors under lights. I'll be talking with two entrepreneurs who are doing it right now, and I might let loose a little of my own experience of growing indoors. Food is the key to our future, and maybe this is one way to get city people started learning what they need to know.
Everybody's talking about local agriculture and trying to create a new food system, but we think that the key is teaching people how to begin growing their own food, because that's how you make it personal. That's how you make people care about food. Once they stick their fingers in the dirt and they see a lettuce grow or tomato grow from a seed, all of a sudden they begin to take it personally. They care about it. You know, they say, wow.
If you have suggestions or tips, please send them along to radio@ecoshock.org. My special thanks to listeners who donated this past week. Your generosity makes it all worthwhile. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. A couple of weeks ago, I managed to squeeze in a clip from a song by Kukulkan called Mother Earth. Then my blog got chopped off and they didn't get the link they deserved. Thank you for sending me that song, guys.
Oh, Mother Nature, oh, Mother Earth, mankind ain't been so kind to you. Oh, Mother Nature, oh, Mother Earth, I can hear you crying. Deforestation, industrialization has taken a toll on you. Ice caps are melting, changing ocean currents, and the weather in the sky. Oh, Mother Nature, oh, Mother Earth, I can hear you crying. Coal and oil taken from below, gold and silver taken from your soul. So kind of.